the fifth chapter. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The Gospel of the Lord. Starts out his famous Sermon on the Mount with a series of blessings, and it is something that when you listen to it, different scholars view this. Some say he starts out with something that's so impossible that we could never do it, so we have to depend on God, or it's a guideline, a guidance of the way we should live our lives. But the more important, the question I want to ask you all today is, do you feel blessed? Do you feel blessed? Yes, yes. In all situations, do you feel blessed? How do you know if something is a blessing and something is a curse? When life is hard, when I think we were probably in a situation here recently when we had a parish member, Myrtle, who was at her, getting ready to take her last breath. And in that same night, we had another caregiver, parish member, family member of ours fall down to a stroke. I hesitate to ask if you two sisters there felt like you were blessed at that moment.
I know I was on Tuesday morning. It was a miracle.
Absolutely, absolutely. So the question is, what does it mean? What is a blessing? What does it mean? What does it mean? Any takers?
Something you received, maybe you didn't deserve it.
Okay, so.
Maybe you wasn't expecting it.
Yeah. Okay.
Just opening your eyes every morning, and you're still here.
Ah, that's a good way to look at it. So simply put, a blessing is God's favor. We're asking for God's favor and protection, right? So somebody would come to you and say, you may say to him, "You have my blessing." That used to be the way it worked when somebody was seeking a hand in marriage. You would go to the dad, and he would say, "Well, you have my blessing." Right? So you're seeking someone's favor. So on a Christian perspective, on a biblical perspective, we're always seeking God's favor, are we not? Because the best way to feel good in our own lives, to bring joy and happiness, is to know that we are blessed, right? Which means we have God's favor. Now here's the hard part about that. A lot of times what we pray for, and we pray for his favor, right, is not necessarily what brings us what we think. Does it not? A lot of times we pray for abundance, and we don't get that. We get something the exact opposite. Because, see, the most important thing to remember is what is God trying to do to us? What is the most important thing for us, and how is he trying to shape each and every one of us? He's trying to make us look happy? Is he? No, not really. What's he trying to do with me and you and everyone? He's trying to make us look like who?
Him.
Which in more other terms is, he's making us Christ-like, right? That's the goal for all things work together for whose purpose?
Yes.
Tom's?
Yes.
No, for God's purpose, for his purpose. So, as I was preparing for this, I found this really interesting prayer that I'd like to read to you. And I think it gives perspective on how we pray in our lives throughout. So, it's a prayer. It's of a Confederate soldier's prayer. And this prayer was found on this soldier at Gettysburg. And they say in the Devil's Den area of Gettysburg. So he didn't make it. But he had this prayer, and it said a Christian's Confederate soldier's prayer. He said, I asked God for strength that I might achieve. How did God respond? I was made weak that I might humbly obey. I asked for health that I might do greater things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. We've all done that, right? What's the opposite of riches?
Poverty.
I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing that I asked for. Let me focus on that. I got nothing that I asked for, but everything that I had hoped for. Almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were unanswered. I am among all people most richly blessed. So that kind of puts into perspective what happens when we pray. I know for a fact that this last 5-6 weeks have been extremely difficult for myself. And the one thing that God has given me that I have been pretty good at through my years and being able to stay positive when the world seemed to be falling apart is the ability to reflect back on a situation and find God's hand in it. So it was a little harder to do this time because, you know, I certainly didn't get at any of those stops to the doctor what I was looking for. But what I did get was I found favor with him. I know that. Because let me tell you, had none of this happened, I would have been in a very difficult dilemma of being able to bring care and comfort to the Robinson family. It's only because I was out of work from my normal Duke Energy job that I was able to be available for Guy, for Wanda, for Andy, and yes, Merv. Had I been working, I would have been working night shift. And you guys know that I've talked about my job where we're so short-handed that when people call in sick, you know, spur of the moment, it really puts everybody in a difficult spot, and it's something that I hate doing, right? So that little bit right there, looking back, helps me to at least accept this great inconvenience I've had, that I know that I am a blessed man because I was able to do what God wanted me to do. So as we look back in this time today of All Saints Day, yes, as I mentioned earlier, there were, we we had saints from this congregation that went through these doors many times that have gone on and left family members behind. Whether it was someone who was just ready and tired, Pearl. Whether it was somebody who was battling cancer and just couldn't anymore, Jean. Whether it was somebody who had lived a very nice and prosperous long life who no longer could see, Aunt Helen. Or most recently, whether it was somebody who was just in incredible pain over the last year and a half and could not be that spry, beautiful, wonderful self anymore, Myrtle. Each and every one of those have gone to be with God. And as Kay so eloquently read in today's reading in Revelation, we know from that some words of comfort that come that says, therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd. And he will guide them to springs of living waters, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. He'll wipe away every tear from their eyes. He does the same thing to us. So when life hits us with, it seems like a barrage, and 2020 will be looked at and reflected upon as probably a year unlike any, I know in my lifetime. And we'll look back and we'll be able to see that we truly were blessed. And for that, I am forever grateful. And that's what helps us move forward to the day that people will look at us and say, the saints who have come and gone. Amen.
Amen.